I want to share God's moving in his people. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, we'll start. It says, "Wherefore, I am made a minister, according to the dispensation or the administration of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, who we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." God is working in the Apostle Paul mightily to do the job that we just read, to do his word, to make it known. And that's our mission. That is each and every one of us. We have been called to reconcile people back to God. That is the reason that we've been born again, is so that we could be, just like God said to us in the manifestations, that we could be a witness of him, to make the promises known, to show people that our God is alive and well. And the riches of the glory of that mystery that Paul is teaching is that people have Christ in them. You have the Messiah. The spirit of the Messiah is in you. You have that connection. And he has made that available to all of us. Go to Romans chapter 8. As believers, we want to learn to walk by that spirit in a very wonderful way. In verse 14 of Romans 8, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I want you to notice something. It doesn't say as many as have the Spirit. The people who are manifesting it, who are walking by it, who are led by the Spirit, they're the ones that are walking like the children of God. You may have the Spirit and not choose to use it today or tomorrow or whatever. But the point is, if you want God to work within you and to manifest the potential that you have to choose to be led by it. Plain and simple, you have to choose to walk by it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This chapter we've spent a lot of time in through the years. It's talking about spiritual matters. In 12:1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren," that's how it should read, "I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit, and there are diversities of administrations, but it's the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." dealing with spiritual matters, the Lord wants us to understand in verse 4, there are multiple, many diverse ways in which God chooses to bless people with his gifts. You know, there are so many people with so many different kinds of gifts. It's not just talking about the manifestations, obviously. It's not just talking about the gift ministries. I believe that there are multiple, lots of different gifts. You know, it talks about in Romans the ministry of mercy. To those who are mercy, they practice mercy. I believe that there's people out there who practice giving. There's people out there who can have been blessed. I was talking to Richie this week, and Asaph, you know, the thing I didn't realize, that one of the psalmists, Asaph, he was a prophet. And he wrote many of the psalms. God gave him many of the psalms. Same thing with David. David was a prophet. He wrote many of the psalms. Richie brought to my attention that David invented instruments to praise the Lord. Asaph sang. He was one of the singers. He was a prophet. He had charge to worship God as a Levite. But at the same time, he had multiple gifts that he gave to minister and to help. There are people who are just, there are nurses and doctors that have been given a gift that God put it in their soul to do what they do. Now, they had to work hard. Everybody's got to work hard. That don't mean that it's automatically, oh, gee whiz, you know, I can sing so I don't have to practice. I mean, you got to practice talking, otherwise you get a voice like mine, you know, which is real raspy because you don't use those vocal cords. You have to, there's skill involved. You know, Dwayne in our fellowship, the beautiful, plays the flute. I mean, the amount of practice and care and love, the amount of study to study music and put it together to write, these are gifts. And I believe that people are out there with all kinds of gifts. And it makes this world. And by the way, I think that that same thing is true of firemen. I think the same thing is true of police officers. I think the same thing is true of all these people who would dedicate themselves to putting themselves in harm's way to help others. You know, in the military. Not every single soul, but I believe that there are many. Many. I can't tell all the time until I'm touched by somebody's life. You know, I can identify it if I watch somebody long enough. But on a day-to-day basis, I don't know. But I know this much. God is doing those things and has given abilities and gifts not only spiritually but also physically to people to bless and to do his stuff, to do the things he wants done. And that's believer and unbeliever, I believe. See, the people who take the Roman soldier, the centurion that saved Paul's life when the church at Jerusalem wanted to take it, and they wanted to kill Paul because they believed he was charged with bringing a Gentile in to the temple. And, that was just an unbelieving soldier as far as I know. He's not a believer. And yet God had him there to protect God's men. How about the king, Nebuchadnezzar? God calls King Nebuchadnezzar, this unbeliever, his servant. He gave him the kingdom to be greater than anybody else. And the purpose was that when Israel had sinned so badly that God could no longer, they couldn't take care of themselves, he wanted to make sure that the Messiah would come out of their line. They wouldn't be killed off. So he had Nebuchadnezzar conquer them and keep them safe for 70 years with, you know, the Babylonian Empire. That's God's provision. Even when, but, you know, again, it was because God wanted this Messiah to come. God is protecting his business with his, he's going to get what he wants done first. And he'll take care of all of his children as long as they want. But he'll make sure that all of his, the things that the Lord wants to accomplish, are going to come to pass. So, you know, when it talks about there are diversities of gifts, there are, but it's the same Spirit, same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations here in verse 5. Administration is services, but it's the same Lord. There are multiple ways in which God inspires people to serve. I mentioned some of them a little bit ago. They're not only gifts, but they're also things that he wants done. And there are diversities of operations, energizings. You know, God energizes. He had, remember Balaam? He had a donkey talk to Balaam. And now if that isn't an energizing, I don't know what is. I mean, he makes it happen the way he wants, how he wants, when he wants. And some of these energizings would be odd, like that one. You know, they would be, well, whoa, you know, if you saw that. Or if you saw the light, you know, the fire coming down from heaven, taking up the thing. Or like later on, I'll talk about some other people who spectacularly got taken out. But you also have God working in people to teach, to witness. God's working within his children all over the world to speak the word. You have individuals who have been inspired to go from one country to another. You have people who are energized to bring forth prophecy and the prophets and all the rest. There are multiple different ways, but it's the same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Corinthians were having problems with that. And then it talks about the manifestations here. There's 9 of them mentioned. But you know what? All of these manifestations, verse 11, but all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. My question to you is, do you will? You know, do you wake up in the morning and ask God, what would you have me to do today? And not what, oh, Lord, remind me what I want to do today. No, ask him what he wants you to do today. And for this year, for this life, for whatever, you just keep asking for his guidance and his working within you. You have to choose to operate the manifestation. You have to choose to get up and speak and to do it boldly. You have to choose to live your life walking by the Spirit that he has given you. You have to ask him and sit and listen. What would you have me to pray for? Because he'll inspire you by his Spirit to pray for things that wouldn't necessarily come to your mind and to your heart. God is in the business of reconciling man to himself. That is his purpose. That is why you and I are here. Jesus Christ died so that we would live for him and do the discipling that he wants us to do. And I don't care if it's your grandchildren. I don't care if it's your next door neighbor. They need to hear. I would like to show you some of the individuals that God worked with to get this done, and how he worked with them, and what it was necessary for them to do. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. We have these examples in Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 1. In verse 4. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You know, I think people ought to read this verse in light of the butchering of millions and millions of children in the womb. You know, I know that they do it ignorantly, but I'll tell you what, you can't read a verse like that and think that these unborn children aren't worth nothing. God knew him, called him, and from the time he was in the womb, "Then said I, Yea, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." God says, "I called you. I've known you since before you were born." And he says, "Oh, Lord, I'm a kid. I'm a young guy. I can't do nothing. I'm a young guy." See, I don't care what your disability is. You're young, you're stupid, you're too smart, you're too old. I don't care I don't care what it is. If God wants you to do something, he's going to give you the ability to do it. He's going to work within you, and it's going to come to pass if you choose to walk by that Spirit. See, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Those are the ones who are manifesting the fact that they are the sons. "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all, and I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Because be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." He says to him, don't worry about the fact that you're young. And don't be afraid. And that's the number one thing that stops people from walking with God and walking by the Spirit of God is fear. And it just binds people. It keeps them from doing what they're supposed to be doing. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid of their faces. And whatsoever I tell you, that's what you speak. You don't do more. When a prophet speaks, it's thus saith the Lord, right? That's a very different thing than a teacher. A prophet is delivering the message that God wants delivered. You don't add to it. You don't subtract from it. It's word for word God's delivered message. It's not up for you to ad lib when you're a prophet. You speak what he wants, and then you shut up. When you say, thus saith the Lord, you're verbatim delivering that message. It says, be not afraid of their faces. And how many of us are intimidated by what people think, and they give you a dirty look, or they look... Oh, That's not nice. You know, this whole society is worried about what people think. More so than usually any other time I've ever seen. It's really incredible. They got to watch everything they say. Don't want to say nothing the wrong way, this, that. And you know, you get canceled. You know, I've been in this minute. Our church is a very conservative church. Okay? It's not politically conservative. It is conservative. You know why? Because we believe what the Bible says. I have no intention of changing. I have no intention of toning down the fact that I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. I have no intention of toning down or saying in a more politically correct way that there are only two sexes, a man, a boy, and a girl. And you are what you were born to be. And you can't switch. You can't decide today I'm going to be... You know, it started years ago when people started playing the game with, oh, you're not in touch with your feminine side. You know, that's 25, 30 years ago people were starting to put this in to the mix. Now, it's literally, you can change who you are. You can compete. You can compete as a failed male runner. Now you can win as a female. My granddaughter deserves to be able to win the races that she runs against other females. I'm not going to rob her of that. That's just, you know, God made them both male and female. It's scripture. We believe scripture. We believe people are supposed to stay married. We believe that there's one God. Not three in one. One God. The God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe that the only way to get to eternal life is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no other. See, those would be things that if you stood up and shared them in the town, you know what the looks that you would get? You would have to worry about what they think and what they're going to say and what they're going to do and whether they would cancel you or get rid of you at the job or this or that. God doesn't care. So you got to choose who you walk for when you're a prophet. When you're called to do something, this is what God has called you to do. If you ain't got the guts or the faith or the boldness to do it, then you won't. And then you are a failure. Because the most important thing to God is that the people he calls are faithful to him to do what he's asked them to do. Don't worry about their faces, God says to Jeremiah. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my word in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me and said, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of almond trees. And the Lord said unto me, good job. You did good. Turn the page. Thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. So God has set this child. He considers himself a young guy, a child. Forget about what you consider. God's telling him, I have set you over the nations, the kingdoms. Whatever is going, you rule. This one little kid, you rule. Whatever I tell you to speak, you speak. Do it without fear. Don't worry what anybody else thinks. Just do it. And do the things I show you. He showed him this almond thing. He says, good job. You saw what I wanted you to see. Exactly what he saw is what. Why? I don't know. But this represents the fact that God's word is coming to pass. Every single word of it that this prophet speaks, it's coming to pass. Everything that God does with us, everything that he says in this book is coming to pass, whether you believe it or not. I want to be there with those that believe it. I want to... Do I know exactly what God's doing today in the world that we live in? Nope, I don't. He doesn't let me in on everything. But I know this much, his word's coming to pass. I don't know if our country is in the middle of a revival going towards him or in the middle of going away from him and receiving his, destruction. Just like Israel did. 40 years they did good. They cried out, then they went to bondage. They wanted the bondage because they turned away from him. I don't know which way it's going. I mean, all I can do is see my general and my inside is just mine. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I am supposed to live. I know that I am to be a witness and I have to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done and make it known to the people around me so that they can confess that Jesus is Lord of their life and help other believers to discipline themselves to live it. That's what we're called to do. Jeremiah had a job. And you know what? God says to him, I can't believe it. There's one little kid. I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, root out and pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. When those words were spoken, they came to pass. When kingdoms were told you're going into bondage because you don't repent, they went into bondage. Let's go to another great record. But with Jeremiah, just remember this, the main point, no fear. Don't think about what people say and what they're going to say. If you allow yourself to be stifled, to be shut up, to be stymied, by what people think around you and by the political climate that we're in. It used to be that the only people, I'm always been an outcast here. Every my entire Christian life, I've been an outcast. If I worried about what people thought about me, I'd be a Trinitarian. I'm not. I've always been an outcast in the Christian church. Now it's not only the Christian church, the world didn't care what I said. Now it's not only the majority of the Christian world that is not happy with me. Now it's also the society we live in. Well, it ain't going to change much for me because God rules. Go to Galatians. Paul had the same problem. Galatians chapter 1. And when you read the book of Jeremiah, they didn't like him very much, did they? They treated him horribly. But guess what? God delivered him, helped him. He's one of the greats of all time. When Paul had ministered the word in the area of Galatia for probably 20 years or more. And then all of a sudden, some other group came in, probably from Jerusalem, and started to teach legalism to the people that he had ministered to in that church in Galatia. And it says, he says here in chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. It's not really another gospel. But there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. See, it's a perversion. They weren't it. Paul had taught them the truth of the gospel. These people came in with their thoughts, and it was a perversion of God's word. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Curse him. And you're asking God to curse them. Then it says, verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. It's established. For do I now persuade men or God? Am I here to do this to persuade you? Or am I speaking this word to please God? If I'm here to please men, let's read the verse. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And that's the truth. If we are out to please other people and make sure that we don't, when we speak the word, I'm talking about, when we're speaking the word, if we water it down to please men, then we're perverting the gospel like these people. You know, you got so many thousands and thousands of Christian Jews that are doing the law and getting circumcised. You guys ought to do this too. Paul was not there to please men, only God. He spoke the word that was truth. He gave them the gospel. He ministered to them. He loved them. He cared for them. He taught them to walk by the Spirit. And now they're being corrupted by this other group. But the man of God, my point from Jeremiah, don't worry about their faces. Don't worry about what they think. Don't worry about what they're doing. Paul, you're not there to please men. And if you do, you are not the servant of Christ. You are not the servant, the doulos of Christ. You and I have to be true to the gospel. We have to be true to the God who has given us salvation, to the word that he has put in our soul. You know, when Peter and John just after Pentecost were called into question and brought before the people who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees, and they said they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Yet they were doing miracles. They had healed the man at the temple gate beautiful. Everybody was praising God, but they said, we can't have this. And they threatened them. They locked them up and they threatened them. These are the same people who killed Jesus. Do you think it didn't cross Peter and John and the rest of their minds, the rest of the apostles' minds, that this could be happening to us. I bet you they remembered that the Lord said to them, hey, when you're in a bad spot, don't pre-think what you got to say. I'll give you what to say when the time comes. And Peter, in that record, says, you know, whether it be right to obey you rather than God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have now seen and heard. They had boldness coming out of their ears. They just lived for the Lord. See, God was energizing them. You got the Spirit, you got the same Lord, you got the same God working. He'll do it in whatever way it has to happen so that the reconciliation of mankind can happen. You just have to be willing to get in the game. You have to be willing to be fearless and to do the job. I mean, we ask soldiers to go over the hill, right, and face the gunfire that's coming their way. And these men, God bless them, they do. God is asking you, charge the hill, and I'll be there with you. Do you trust them? Or don't you? Because these are questions we ask ourselves all the time. Doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. Nothing else. You know, there's other qualities. Look at Moses here. Go to Exodus 33. Verse 11. Great verse. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. That was the relationship, the quality of the relationship God had with Moses. As a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. You know, Moses was done talking with God. God was done talking to Moses. But God talked to him face to face. Go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. This is a record of, it's going to reference this verse again in verse 3. It says, now Moses was a very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. Moses was he was meeker than anybody else on the face of the earth. Let's go back to verse 1 here. This is the record of, it's really something. You know, God has worked in Moses, right? God has called up Moses. Hey, I want you to go get my people out of Egypt. He goes. You know, he wasn't real sure about this to begin with, right? Wasn't real sure of his calling. God had to do a lot of things with him, but then he went. And when he went right up to the Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And you had all this going on. And the people go, and they're out. It says, and Miriam and Aaron now spake against Moses. The reason they spake against them was because of the Ethiopian woman whom he hath married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Isn't this something? Now, I know I haven't given you the background, but, I mean, this is the man who has walked with God, done these miracles, signs, wonders. And this is Moses' sister, Miriam, and Aaron, his brother. These are the two close people closest to him. And they didn't like their new sister-in-law. Why? I don't know. It might have been because she was black. It might have been because she had other characteristics they didn't like. You know, we all meet people, we like them or don't like them, but the point is, this is pretty petty, is it not? Whatever the reason, Moses wanted her as a wife. He wanted to love her and be with her. And do you think Moses sort of like deserved to be a little happy? Let's just keep it that way. But nope, sister and brother, they didn't like the sister-in-law. So they decided to start speaking against Moses. And you know what starts to happen? Once people start rumbling against somebody else, it keeps building and it keeps building. And it gets to be a real mess. Well, let's just read the record. Verse 2, it says, "And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? And the Lord, Yahweh, heard it." This is getting serious, folks. They go from, "I don't like his choice of wives," to, "Hey, is he the only guy around here who walks with God? We walk with God too. I mean, the Lord's spoken by us." But then the Lord heard it. He ain't putting up with this. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were above the face or upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses." Suddenly. Yeah, this is a big word. Remember, you know, if you get yelled at, everybody's getting yelled at here. That's how I read the word suddenly. "Hey, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, show up at the congregation, tent of the congregation." "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they came, and the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth, and he said, Hear now my word. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream." Wouldn't that be wonderful to get visions and dreams of the Lord? "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of Yahweh shall be behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one of the dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." Moses loved his sister. He loved his brother. He loved the people of Israel. Moses, you can't do this job. You can't be a Jeremiah unless you love God's children. You can't be a Moses. You can't be a Peter. You can't be a Paul unless you love God's people. But you know what? Everybody's tempted. There are people who are, wow, they, you know, and I've watched this in my ministry a number of times, you know, personally, and watched it with other people. You minister, you lead God's people, you help them, and then all of a sudden, oh, I know as much as you do. You're not the only one, God. Go ahead. You want to go down that road? Go ahead. It's up to you. I got nothing to say. I've seen it done, and I've asked God to judge between me and others. Just like Moses will do in chapter 16 with Korah. But why go down that road? Why not just be... God showed up to Moses, called him, and then said, take your brother. He talks better than you. Since you're not real... real confident in your speech, just tell your brother what to say and he'll speak for you. Miriam, I'm not sure how she got in the thing, but God did talk to both of them. God was, but he did it in speech that was shadowy compared to Moses. He would show them visions, but it was compared to Moses, it was nothing. And God was not going to put up with this kind of stuff in the church. And later on, you know, they got nothing but complaints against Moses and against Aaron. And Moses stands up for Aaron. And he says, you know, this nonsense of who's better and who's more holy and who's everything else, let the Lord judge. Did this with Korah. Remember Korah and his group? It's in number 16. I'm not going to read it. Hey, are you the only one that's holy? We're all holy here, Moses. We can all serve at the tabernacle. Moses was angry. This was not where, you know, he said he was angry. And he brought it before the Lord, and he says, God, serve the Lord. And the Lord will decide who is holy and who isn't. And guess what? God said to Moses, you tell those other people that are hanging out with these people, I forget the three, you tell them to get away because this is not going to go well for those folks. And Moses said, well, Lord, decide who's holy and who's not holy. And the earth opened up its mouth, swallowed all 250 of them, and closed on top of them, buried alive. God chose. That kind of division, that kind of thing that can just sap a church, sap a congregation out of the will of the Lord and shove everybody into the devil's direction, God's not going to put up with. But it happens all the time. The Corinthian church went through this with their carnality. The devil's no different from one place to another. It's the same devil spirits running the world now that were running the world then. At any rate, you see examples like in the scriptures of Philip. Remember the Lord says, you know, join yourself to that chariot. You know what Philip did? You know the quality he had? He wanted to serve so bad. He ran to the chariot. God said, join you. He ran to do the job. You know, they had boldness. They had no fear. And they wanted to do this. They served. They ran to do what God wanted. If God says to you to do something, don't, oh, yeah, tomorrow. No, forget it. You're not. It's not going to work out. They ran to do the job. You know, how about Ananias that went and ministered to Saul before he was called Paul? This was a man who was out there to kill, lock up all the Christians he could find, and God says, I want you to go talk to that man. And Ananias says, hey, this is the guy. He's done much evil to your people. And Lord said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Go. Gave him the directions. Guess what? Oh, Ananias, just a certain disciple. He went. That's what I mean by getting in the game. You're willing to do things you're not comfortable with? You're willing to say things that you know are not going to be easily received, if received at all, because they're the truth? And I'm not talking about being harsh with people. I'm talking about speaking the word of God without compromise. You know, the highest form of service of a son of God is that of a doulos, a bond slave, where you do exactly what you're told. That is the highest form of service. And God will work in those people because they will be energized. They will be given the gifts. Everything that goes on in their life is because God knows that they will carry it out. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning.